Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on nuclear suicide when we come back. You know, back in 1970, the world's food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on the planet. But today it's down to less than 38 days. These global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, as I call them, plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years under the Club of Rome plan. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing in essentially the same terms by using words like false prophets, war, famine, and disease. Now, back in 1920, nearly 50% of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers. They were producing their own food and food for the rest of the world and for you and me. But today, we Americans have chosen to live in our cities. And now only 3% of us are out here living on the land, which tells us that 97% of us then are no longer self-sufficient in our food production. Now, we're producing grain for export, all right. But then we turn around and we import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this Global 2000 World Population Control Program. These globalists, with their genocide agenda, have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And if you're online, you can go to our website, go to that page, and you can download it yourself. Our General Law CD package now is on our website. If you're not on the Internet and you don't have computer access, you're listening over the radio somewhere out in Japan or Korea or someplace, then go ahead and call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. And ask for it, and we'll be happy to send it to you now. Our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, you don't have to send us the email and ask for it. You can download it directly. Download it directly. If for some reason you can't, then send us an email, and we'll see if we can tell you how. All right, we're talking about strategic relocation. Strategic relocation is a book written by Joel M. Skousen for the purposes of encouraging you to leave San Diego, California, and going someplace outside the blast zone. So last time I showed you there were 10 big metropolitan areas that have 10 great big military targets, either right in the middle of them or right next door. Kansas City, Missouri is one of them. San Diego, California is another. So the logical thing to do is to get the hell out of Dodge while you still can. Now, some of you people are going to sit there and say, well, I don't believe it, number one. Or number two, I just don't think I can accomplish that. Well, maybe not. People become self-defeating. You know, I don't think I can save myself off the Titanic. I don't think I can save myself from Hurricane Katrina. I don't know what to do next. My experience has been, well, you may not know what to do next, but you could learn. I mean, you people out there are smarter than dogs. We can teach our dogs and train them to go poop on a paper. Surely you can train or teach a human being to escape from a death trap. I mean, you don't have to have a rocket science degree, you know, from MIT or something to figure this out. I think the average truck driver, the average plumber, carpenter, electrician, housewife, Joe Sixpack, factory worker, I think we can figure this out if we just put a little bit of effort to it. So let's talk about fallout shelters. What do you have to do one? Well, I got a disc in here the other day. You can actually use your house, your home, as a fallout shelter. It's not the best. You know, so if you're sitting there saying, hey, this guy Gordon's stupid. It is true that your house in downtown Cleveland can be turned into a fallout shelter, and no, it's not the best. And yeah, you ought to spend the $10,000 or $20,000 and you ought to harden it with cement, concrete blocks, blast door, air filtration system. But you know, what if you can't do that? You know, just what if you can't? Or you don't want to. You know, you may wake up one day after you see that big bright flash and say, oh my God, here it is. Gee, I wished I would have done something. Because see, at that point in time, after the Titanic hit the iceberg, you don't have any time to prepare for this. Events are just going to swallow you up. So the time to prepare is now before the event transpires, but if you don't do that and the event transpires, well then, now what do I do? Well, it's like a football team, you know, on fourth down, I guess we got to kick. You know, we got to go on defense and kick. So let's take a look at fallout shelters. There's Class A, Class B, and Class C fallout shelters. And so we'd like to have a Class A fallout shelter with a blast door and an air filtration system. But, you know, maybe we haven't got that, and we might have to go with Class B. Maybe we haven't got that. Maybe we'll have to go with Class C. Let's see what we can do here. A good fallout shelter needs at least 10 to 12 inches of solid concrete and 2 to 3 feet of dense earth or 3 feet of water overhead to reduce the fallout down to a tolerable level. Now, it's always best to construct the shelter in basement areas so that you get the benefit of complete shielding below ground level. In addition, this gives you direct access from your home to the shelter without having to go outside. You will need a source of filtered air, a secure metal door, food supplies, water supplies, sanitation facilities, and solar-powered, battery-powered electricity. There are no windows in a fallout shelter, so you need to have plenty of light available. There are many other things to think about, including secondary escape paths. Okay, so there's a good one. So if you're right here standing underneath the fallout cloud, that's what you need. Now, if you can get 100 miles away from this, you don't need one like that. You can get by with something less than that, 100 miles away. But, you know, we're assuming that you're right there next to the blast zone. The blast doesn't get you. You know, you're 30, 50 miles away, but you're going to be under the heavy fallout pattern 50 miles from ground zero. Boy, you're going to need something like that. Now, you can build something like that. I called David Bauer the other day. Not the other day. Hell, it was a few years back now, but, you know, for an old man like me, it was just the other day. I called David and I said, hey, I want you to build me this tornado shelter. And he gave me a price of $15,000. Now, this is 10 years ago. $15,000 10 years ago to build me a building just like that right there. All concrete roof, 12 inches thick, under 3 feet of earth, and he could have done it 10 years ago for 15 grand. That was the deluxe Class A fallout and tornado shelter. And it was 15 by 15 feet. Now, how big is that? 15 times 15 feet is 225 square feet. Not as big as about the size of a studio apartment. Maybe not quite as big. Now, did you catch this? You've got to have a food and water supply inside that shelter. And you have to have an air filtration system. You got to get air in there. You got to filter the from the outside air in there. Now, can that be done? Yeah, you know, if you're a middle-class guy, you know, maybe you're driving a truck, you got $15,000, $20,000. Hey, listen, most of you people have $20,000 or $25,000 maybe now in your 401k. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have $100,000 in your 401k or a fallout shelter stocked and ready to go for a nuclear blast? I mean, it's your choice in life, and I'm not here to tell you what you ought to do. You know, that's for you to decide. But, you know, which would you rather have? Which do you think might serve the better, serve your interests better? Now, let me remind you, the president has this, and all of the top military brass have it, and a lot of the lower military brass, I mean, you know, they're prepared to protect the military. And the Supreme Court and their immediate families, all of the Congress, I suspect the governors and the legislatures are probably in on this scam also, would be my guess. And the only guys that don't have a clue as to what the hell's coming down here are the Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives that bought and paid for all of this for the elites. And then the rest of us are sitting here fully persuaded that nuclear war is unsurvivable while we have provided all of the survival that is necessary for these elites to survive it. Now remember this, the Russians are planning it. All of the American elites are prepared for it. And God Almighty promises it. All of the authorities are telling you plainly nuclear bomb war is coming. That is, all of the elites of America, all of the governmental authorities of Russia, and God Almighty himself. Now, if that isn't enough to persuade you, well then, you know, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Now, here's how you get plans. I have written a special report and plan set of shelter plans, which you can order at the end of this book. These are multi-purpose, high-security shelters, which also serve to protect you from storms, tornadoes, earthquakes, and nuclear fallout. Because of the total concrete shell, even a normal fallout shelter will give you quite a bit of blast protection as well. These below-ground vault rooms also give you secure hidden storage as well, if you implement some of the concealment features that I feature in this book. Concealment is very important because of the potential of social unrest, looting, pillaging, and other threats. Government agents have often played Robin Hood, declaring everyone who stores food to be a hoarder. They will then proceed to confiscate your hard-earned preparations, and they may also limit your ration coupons, thereby penalizing you for having the foresight to store food in advance. This serves only to destroy the incentive of prudent and far-sighted people. So don't let this happen involuntarily. Keep your things hidden. You may want to share voluntarily, but not at the end of the barrel of a gun. And if you do share, keep it private so that you don't advertise what you have. Now, my high security shelter book also has complete storage lists of supplies and instructions and plans on how to implement it. And I even tell you how to read your radiation meter and deal with radiation sickness. Let me pause right here. This radiation meter is available at Radio Shack, costs 100 and some change. And this radiation sickness, what you need is kelp. You got to have iodine. Deals with radiation sickness. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, getting 1,000 Roentgens. I'm talking about if you're exposed and you need potassium iodate or you need kelp, you ought to have that in supply for all of the people that may need it in your fallout shelter. Having the meter is essential so that you'll know when to come out and when to go back in. Otherwise, you're just guessing. And since it's unlikely that anyone is going to survive at the local TV and radio stations, since they are not protected. Don't expect to go to the hospital either if you get sick. None of the doctors or nurses are protected, and therefore they're all going to be sick as the rest of society or in the process of dying. So it's important to be prepared to treat your own illnesses, and this takes significant long-term preparation in the alternative health field. Establishment medical personnel discourage training in this area. Think about that one, because when this thing comes down, it's not very likely that you're going to be able to go to the ER to get treatment for your radiation sickness. Now remember that any community only has a few people that get sick at any given time. And so you have a hospital, which is geared to the economics of your area. Now here in Springfield, Missouri, we have two big hospitals. I mean, they're humongous institutions, Cox and St. John's. I don't know how many beds they have. But they don't have 10,000 beds each. That'd be 20,000 beds. Now, let's suppose that we have a nuclear bomb drop on or around Springfield, Missouri, population 160,000. If it drops on Springfield, the two hospitals will be vaporized. So you don't need to worry about hospitals. If it's dropped in the vicinity of and the two hospitals survive, they're going to be inundated with tens of thousands of people, and they can't handle it, and their staffs aren't prepared for nuclear bomb war. Nobody in America is prepared for this. Nobody. Oh, I shouldn't say nobody. The Mormons are. I don't know if all of them are, but many of them are. So, you know, there's going to be some survivors. And, of course, those Mormons, they've all moved to hell out of the big metropolitan areas. They're sitting in Orem, Provo, and Ogden. Or, you know, Logan or Moab or someplace. Or they're up in Wyoming or some other place, I know. They've already left. Anybody in the know is gone. Now, this leaves the rest of us out here fair to middle and vulnerable. So I thought, well, why don't we pay attention here? Is there any hope for some of the rest of us scallywags out here that aren't Mormons, aren't particularly religious? Maybe we're not Republicans or Democrats. Maybe we're just, you know, the scum of the earth. But, you know, how about us scum of the earth? Maybe we should take into consideration. Maybe we've got a chance. Now, remember this meter. This is called a radiation meter. It's going to tell you how much radiation you're receiving. Now, you want to keep this under 100 Roentgens. You want to keep it down to, you know, 10 if you can, but, you know, 500 is going to make you god-awful sick, 1,000 is going to kill you, 100 is not going to do you any good. And so you need the meter to tell you, well, how much radiation's out there. It costs you $135. Hell, all of us have $135. Quit smoking for a couple of weeks, Bob, and go buy your family a radiation meter so that you can tell how much radiation's out there. Now, in addition to this, having a meter is essential so you know when to come out of the shelter and when to go back in. Otherwise, you're just guessing. And this is long-term planning. Now, there's also biological and chemical threats. There will also be widespread use of biological and chemical weapons. Russia has the most extensive arsenal in the world, and they have been cheating on all of the treaties involved. I expect that Russia will rely on this nuclear arsenal in the beginning, but then they will use chemicals and biological weapons extensively if any Western armies try to combat Russia in the conventional field of battle. Chemical and biological weapons are some of the easiest weapons to manufacture and deliver compared to the devastation they wreak. Even small nations like Iran and North Korea are working to increase stockpiles so as to even the playing field with the United States. None of these countries have any regard for the potential retaliation on their own people. In fact, it's highly probable that the sensitivities of the Western countries would not allow them to use such weapons. Even if our own soldiers were attacked with these chemical and biological weapons, it's a real question as to whether we would use them against the Russians and Chinese or anybody else. Personally, my feeling about military strategy is that we always ought to go after the leaders. Why spend time killing the rabble or the innocent foot soldier when it's the leaders who are the ones that are responsible for the whole thing to start with? Now, unfortunately, other than to have a personal gas mask in your car trunk and in your shelter, there's very little protection from these agents. Even gas masks will not protect you long from viruses and other biological weapons. So having your shelter in a retreat location, in an isolated area in the rural hills or mountains, provides the greatest safety from these threats. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is going to be for you to be able to get far away, very far away, from civilization when these plagues and diseases strike. If the disease doesn't get you, then the government's draconian quarantine measures will ensure that you will be trapped in these areas and in contact with these diseases. In rural areas, concentrations of these pathogens will be so minute or non-existent that you may have a real chance of survival. This should be a bare minimum or ultimate retreat, not something you live in or visit very often. There are whole shelter nuclear, biological, chemical, these are called the NBC filters, made to military specifications that you can install to give you the standard levels of protection from chemical warfare agents. Now, unfortunately, they are very expensive, and they are very hard to find. Not impossible, just hard. Now, I think the money is better spent on other things, so I specify regular filtration systems, costing a few hundred dollars, and then supplemented with stored gas masks if you think that's necessary. Now let's take a look at nuclear terrorism and the suitcase bombs. You've probably heard about these suitcase nukes that are out there, all right? It is a fact that Russia has developed over 100 nuclear suitcase bombs, powerful enough to destroy up to a mile or two square portion of an American city. Now at least one Russian defector has indicated that as many as 10 of these nuclear suitcase nukes have been lost or allowed to pass into the hands of Middle Eastern terrorist organizations sponsored by Iran. I think this is disinformation to further the government fear-mongering about the war on terror. These weapons are the most closely guarded secrets in Russia. They have not been allowed to be stolen or lost unless it was intentional. Now, social unrest in the wake of war and terror is an inevitable byproduct of both war and terror. So remember, too, that with war will come the potential of massive social unrest. This is especially true in a nuclear war, where there will be no orderly place for people to go. There will be so many people sick and dying that it is almost futile to think about trying to go out and be a good Samaritan. Everyone will have to make some really tough decisions. And above all, remember that you don't do yourself any good by continually running out of your shelter to find people and bring them in with you. Radiation is just like a million machine gun bullets silently riddling your body with destruction. Every person has got to be trained to fend for themselves and to seek shelter on their own. So make sure that your family members know how to get to your shelter and that they have prepared for it. Know how to find them or to contact them before the fallout arrives. Now, in the aftermath of this first strike nuclear attack, in the long term, every American will have to deal with the fact that liberty, as the sovereign United States of America, is never going to return without the individual armed citizen taking it back by force. If gun control comes before the nuclear attack, just make sure that you don't accede to this violation of your constitutional rights. And listen to the words of one of the Holocaust survivors on why they couldn't effectively fight back in Germany. This quote is taken from Children of the Flames, Manus Lorenzi, pages 194 and 195. It said, "For years after the war, the popular line was that we, the survivors, had allowed the Germans to lead us like sheep to the slaughter. When I tried to tell them that I had gone through, my army buddies would ask, 'How could you have let the Germans do this to you?' It's taken me years to come up with the answer, and I tell people it doesn't matter whether you're Hungarian, Polish, Jewish, or German. If you don't have a gun, you don't have anything. The Jews, who were brought by cattle car to Auschwitz, weren't told that they were going to a death camp. They believed they were going to be working. So when this comes, you know, your government is going to tell you that, hey, get in the cattle car here, we're taking you off to Auschwitz, we're taking you off to a concentration camp. They're going to be telling you, oh, hell, you're going to love it here. You're going to a work center. You're going to a relocation center. That's what happened. They tested this now in New Orleans. They tested it. So let me tell you how the test came out. First of all, they locked 25,000 of you people up in New Orleans in the dome without any water or sanitary facilities to where it became intolerable. You just simply couldn't stay in there another minute. When they softened you up by doing this first, then they brought the buses up to the curb and they said, get in. And you people never even asked, where are we going? In fact, it was so well orchestrated. when the buses were lined up and the people from inside the dome came out. A newspaper, well, it was a television reporter, put a microphone up under this one young woman's nose and said, "Where will you go? Where is your family? Do you know where they are?" And the woman said, "I don't know where my family is. We're disoriented and we don't know." And he said, "Where are you going?" She says, "I don't know and I don't care. I just want to get away from here." Ladies and gentlemen, that woman could have been loaded in the bus and hauled off to the ovens. She didn't care. Now, it's already been tested here. When people are placed under severe stress, and then they're deprived of food, and they're disoriented and separated from their family, when the bus comes, you will get on it. And where it's going, you will not care. Now, that's the way civil unrest and civil disorder is going to be dealt with. Now, if you want any chance of survival, then you got to stay out of the dome, stay off of the buses. You've got to know where you're going, and you've got to know what you're going to do when you get there, and what you're going to do over the next 4 years, because this survival isn't for a week or two or for 72 hours. It's a four-year program, 4 years. How do I know that? That's what Bible prophecy tells us. The Great Tribulation is 1,260 days, kids. Take 1,260 days and divide that by 365. Let me do it for you. 1,260 divided by 365. It's 3.45 years. Another prophecy, 1,335 days. Let's plug that one in. 1,335 divided by 365 is 3.65 years. 3.6 years. All right? Don't you think you should have a little bit of preparation in advance and a little bit of preparation at the end of this 3.5 years? You know, like 3 months going in and 3 months going out? That's 4 years. Minimum. Minimum. How do I know? That's what your Creator told you. Now, I don't know about George Bush and the elite. They're prepared for 4 years. 4 years. They plan to live underground for 4 years with food, clothing, and shelter. Are they ever going to come out? If the radiation dissipates, I'm sure they're going to come out. But they know that this is a long, protracted war. Americans aren't prepared for it. You Canadians up there aren't prepared for it either, but you don't have the nuclear targets in Canada. You got a few, but not many. Hell, most of you Canadians are going to survive by accident. Now, you people in Mexico, it's not very likely that anybody's going to be dropping bombs on Mexico City or Guadalajara or Monterrey. And you people in Tijuana got a problem because of San Diego. But bear in mind that any place that American nuclear weapons or bases are stored are nuclear targets around the world. And there's going to be a bunch of those. So if you're living around the world in close proximity to American nuclear weapons, nuclear bases, Air Force bases, etc., get ready for it because it's coming your way. Now, we're at the halfway point. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package on our website. And that 4-hour CD package can be downloaded onto your own CDs, or you can view it and listen to it right there on your own computer at home. If you don't have a computer at home and you're listening over the radio, then you can call us here at the Law School. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Just call us and ask for one. We'll send it. Now, we had to change our format here. I got overwhelmed with the number of requests, and we had to come up with a plan. We used to send these out, you know, about every 2 or 3 months, you know, I'd send out a few. And then as the requests got more and more, it got spaced out more and more. And now I got so far behind, I said, I got to come up with a different plan. So we did. And we put that 4-hour CD package on our web page. There's a separate page for it. So just go to our website, georgegordon.org, connect with the CD package, and then you can download it for yourself right off the Internet. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend their books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Let me break in here. I'm reporting on a publication. We think that this is a great publication. Don't jump to the conclusion now that I'm a Mormon or that I'm recommending Mormon theology to you. So that's why I make that statement every program. You know, I think that this is a great book, and this guy, Joel Skousen, is a great guy. But that doesn't mean that we agree with every word and every sentence that comes out of Mr. Skousen's mouth. We might or we might not. I know sometimes you'll write and say, you know what that guy is? You do, you know, want to tune me up, and I'm going, well, I told you. And I think this book is on point, and it's a good program. But that doesn't mean that we endorse everything that Mr. Skousen believes and teaches and practices. So keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we're citing here on the Law Hour, they may be hostile to us here at the law school. They may be political adversaries. They may be religious zealots. They may be economic morons. They may be sectarian or racial nitwits. They may even be ethnic partisans. I don't know. I don't give these people a litmus test before I recommend this book. Now, their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that's bottom line. Now, these opinions, beliefs, and comments, these views and expressions that you hear on this program, they belong to me and me alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Don't blame any of this on advertisers, radio stations, disc jockeys, people that work for radio stations, and so on, you know, sponsors. Don't blame any of those people for these views and opinions. They're mine. Mine alone. And hell, those people will probably be the first to stand up and say, we don't agree with this guy at all. And that's their right. But if you would like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then we invite you to go to our website at georgegordon.org or to our phone, our direct line. It's 417-273-4967. Just call us direct or go to our webpage. All right, with that out of the way, that satisfies the Federal Communications Commissions around the world in various countries. You know, we have to tell you out there who we are, where we're from, what we're doing, and why, in order to stay on the air. So we've done our job. Now let me get back to strategic relocation and remind you again that this is a book put out by Joel M. Skousen. Skousen comes from a family that has been writing books on conservative subjects and philosophies for, oh hell, 20, 30 years that I know of, and maybe even further back than that. I remember a book written by, I think it's maybe this guy's daddy or granddaddy or somebody, called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And I think that was written by Skousen. And there was a number of others put out by the John Birch Society. I can remember going to the American Opinion bookstores and seeing Skousen's books in there. W. Cleon Skousen was one of them. I don't know what relation it is to this guy. I assume it's some relation to daddy or granddaddy or brother or uncle or somebody. So the Skousens, you know, have a pretty long and distinguished history of conservative politics, just plain good common sense thinking, in my view. Now, years ago, they used to say, hey, boys and girls, we need to shape up and we need to change our politics and clean up our government and get our show on the road. We didn't do that. And so, as a result of that, you know, okay, we made our choice. We wanted to practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in place of the 10 commandments, and so we've done it. And so now there's going to be an outcome that comes from it. And this book here is telling you this is how I see the outcome and what you need to do to survive it. Now, you know, first of all, before you can change it in the next round, you've got to survive this round. If you want to get to the next round, you've got to survive this one. So Strategic Relocation put out the second edition here, Joel M. Skousen, J-O-E-L-M-S-K-O-U-S-E-N. And copyright 2006. So, you know, we're talking about 3 years old. The book's fairly recent. Updated second edition. His address is 290 West 580 South. It's an odd address. Just do what I tell you. It's 290 West 580 South. Just write it just like that. I know it doesn't make any sense to you. Doesn't make any sense to me. It only makes sense to Mormons in Salt Lake City, Provo, and Orem, and Ogden. They have a system of putting in addresses that they only understand. When the Russian army arrives in the Salt Lake Valley, they will all become disoriented and lost. Following the Mormon maps, nobody will be able to understand that. So just write it down like I told you. 290 West, 580 South, Orem, Utah, 84058, and trust that Mormon postman to deliver it. He can do it. He's the only guy that can do it. Just as an aside, they've got 290 East and 580 North. And you've got 580 West and 290 South. I mean, they've got every one of those convoluted address codes in all four directions. I guarantee you the Russian army will become lost in downtown Salt Lake City. No doubt in my mind. All right, their telephone is 801-224-4746. Again, that's 801-224-4746. And you can go to this guy's email. Yeah, it's J-O-E-L-S, Joel S, or Joels, at joelskousen.com. J-O-E-L-S-K-O-U-S-E-N.com. That'll get you in contact with him on the email machine. And listen to this. The real purpose of the Second Amendment was to allow the individual citizen to act as a last resort in keeping government from turning tyrannical or to protect the nations during an invasion. It's not for hunting, but it is for personal and national self-defense. So let's make sure we keep it that way. This guy is an Army or a Marine major. I forgot which now. And he's a gun advocate. Now, at this late date, 2009 to 2015, it's not likely that the government is going to confiscate the arms of the Americans. They got your arms in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. You people are dead meat, but not here in America, at least not yet. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with the survivors here, because most of us are armed. Just tuck that one away in your heart. I live in an area here where all of the farmers around here drive pickups, and they all have guns in the windows of their pickups. I don't know of anybody that isn't armed and packing here. There probably are some. I mean, you know, you got, you know, like old Bertha Smith. I don't know that old Bertha was packing heat. But I remember Dale Smith's mother over there. She had a coyote get into the pigs, and she took a fence rail and beat that coyote to death. I mean, that old gal over there, she didn't have, if she'd had a gun, she'd shot the coyote. She didn't have one, so she just beat him to death. Now, these women down here in the Ozarks, now, these are tough old heifers down here. Tough old heifers. You got to come down here armed. If you're going to come down here and take Edith Smith's food, you better come with a gun. And you better come in the middle of the night. Because if that old lady's awake, you're dead. And if she can't shoot you, she'll beat you to death. Now, here's a checklist for dealing with the threat of war. Number one, relocate away from direct target areas, or at least locate where you're blast shielded. Two, plan on preparing a shelter against fallout wherever you relocate. It's fairly cheap insurance, and the shelter serves as a storm and earthquake shelter, secure vault room, and safe room from intrusions by others into your home. Establish a network of people who are knowledgeable of the threats, who can give you additional signals or advance notice that something is imminent. Above all, learn to listen to your conscience. I think many average, good, well-thinking people who are close to God are going to get some subtle private warnings. I'm going to put a bracket around that. Now, most people believe that only the Mormons or only the JWs or somebody else is going to survive this. I don't see that in Scripture, and I would suspect that a lot of you people out there, good, well-thinking people, maybe you're not doing everything that you know you ought to be doing, but you're, you know, pretty honest, level-headed guy, or lady, and you're trying your best over here. Just keep after it. Don't give up on your moral principles. Every law that you practice is in your best interest. Every law that you violate is working against your best interest, because there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. You want to practice as much of the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and the statutes, judgments, and commandments that you receive from Moses that you possibly can. Now, you know, if you're eating pig, that's going to kill you at some point in time, but it ain't going to kill you in the morning in all probability. But you'd be best served by taking a look at Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 and ask yourself, do I really want to continue on breaking these laws? And I think Skousen hit the nail on the head. He said, I think that many average good people, and I think he's talking about non-Mormons here, who are close to God are going to get some subtle private warnings. Now, surely the Eternal will do nothing but that he warns through his prophets first. I think we're all going to get warned as time progresses along. There are two witnesses yet to come from Revelation 11. When you see those two witnesses marauding around the world telling you they ain't going to rain here and it's going to flood over there, when you see it, you ought to be able to pay attention to what these guys are telling you. Know that you're getting close now to this 3.5-year countdown period. Now, he says, prepare an emergency 72-hour kit and keep it in your trunk so that you have, that if you have to take shelter temporarily in the basement of some home or office where you have no preparations, you will have the necessary equipment. See my shelter book for the detailed list of what you need. 72-hour kit. All right, so tuck that away in your heart, depending upon your own personal circumstances. This guy, Skousen, now he's taken all of you into consideration. You know, many of you people are going to be in downtown Los Angeles when the bomb drops. Now, if it's at all possible, and you want to be behind a hill someplace. Now, if you can't, well, then okay. But, you know, if you can, try it. Try having a 72-hour supply in your trunk. Have a kit in your trunk of your car so that if you get cut off, have a plan. All of your immediate family members, there's no point in family members leaving the shelter to go out looking for the lost child that didn't follow instructions and didn't get to the shelter. Everybody needs to know where it's at, how to locate it, when to get in it, and what to do when you get there. Come on, guys. Plan. Train your children what to do if they're away from home when it strikes. Even if you have no food or preparations, it's better to stay put in a basement than venture out during heavy fallout. No sense everybody else dying over one that didn't make it. This is called triage. Now, prepare your home for self-sufficiency with a variety of alternative energy and energy sources and equipment so that it will continue to operate if public utilities and other public services are cut off, which is almost a given. They're going to try to collapse the power system. That will immobilize America. This EMT will probably immobilize your automobile as well. Your car probably will not start or operate after this pulse hits it. You're going to be on foot. You're going to be walking. And a little later on, this guy scowls and says, that's why you should be carrying a bicycle, a breakdown bicycle in the trunk of your car as a precaution, so that if you get caught in the traffic, your car doesn't run, you're out of gas, and you got 200 miles to go, it's a hell of a lot faster and easier to ride a bicycle for 200 miles than it is to walk for 200 miles. So I think Skousen has his head screwed on straight, and he has covered many, many of these little foibles that, you know, the average guy just doesn't think about. And that's what we do here in our subsistence and survival class. We're not suggesting to you that you need guns and bullets and get into a firefight, you know, with the police or the FBI or somebody. You're better off if you can stay as far away from that as you can get. You don't want to take on the Russian army, for crying out loud. Didn't you see what the Russian army just did down in Georgia? You know, down on the Black Sea. I mean, those guys aren't slouches now. The best thing you can do is get off these railroad tracks. This train's coming through, kids. Get off the tracks. Now, government intrusion is coming upon our individual rights. You can just about bet on that. People all over the world are someday going to have to deal with a slow, methodical loss of liberty. This is not the work of some individual tyrant or self for selfish reasons, nor is it the product of mere general socialist trends or bullying public officials. What I'm going to describe to you is the systematic, methodical, and planned destruction of liberty worldwide. It is something that will have the longest and most far-reaching effects on your strategic efforts to find safety in the future. So in this section, I want to discuss in some detail the hidden conspiracy that's behind this process, which engulfs almost all of the national governments, and that fully intends to bring all of the nations of the world into this one-world governmental system of total control. It's a great subject of derision in the popular press. You will be accused of being a conspiracy theorist or something on that order. But nevertheless, I'm very sure of its reality, and I've been scrutinizing the evidence for many years, and it adds up. Unfortunately, there's no one book, there's no one person who can give you all of the evidence in a nutshell, because what we're dealing with here are two or three secret government organizations with widespread power that no one knows even a small percentage of the details or even who specifically is at the top of these powerful combinations. But by two or three, I think there is a separate Russian communist conspiracy, a separate Chinese communist conspiracy, both of which are cooperating with and competing at the same time. And I think that they ultimately intend to eliminate the power of the other in the next war. And I also believe the powerful group that controls Western governments actively works to facilitate communist takeovers, to break down existing countries and governments, and set the stage for a future rescue by globalist puppets, all in the quest to create conflict leading to a new world order. I think he's pretty well on point. The KGB, the Communist Chinese, the CIA, MI6 in Britain, you can rest assured that these intelligence agencies know a hell of a lot more than Skousen or George Gordon or maybe even President Barack Obama. That there's a lot of people out there that are in the know or who have fragmented parts or pieces of the puzzle. But one thing we learn from the scripture, in Revelation 12, verse 9, our Creator tells us the whole world has been deceived. Now let's think about that for a moment. If that's true, that includes you and me. So the best that you and I can come up with is some pieces of some truth from time to time. I liked Kent Hovind's analogy. One time he was asked if he really believed this special creation nonsense, and he said, yes, he does, and this guy was ridiculing him. And Hovind asked him this question. He said, sir, do you know everything that there is to know in the world? And the guy said, no. And Hovind asked him the follow-up question, says, do you know half of everything there is to know in the whole world? And the guy said, no. and Hovind moved in for the kill, and he said, well, sir, could it be that what I'm telling you is a small portion of that one half of everything in the world that there is to know that you haven't heard yet? Now, come on, children, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. I'm not claiming to know everything. I'm claiming, first of all, that I've been deceived like everybody else. And based upon that deception, I learned a little bit of the deception. I said, oh, my God, look at what they're doing here with the Federal Reserve. Or, oh, my God, look what's going on over here or there or someplace else. So I can see a little bit of truth, and I'm telling you about it. Now, there's other people out there that know more than I do, and this guy Skousen's probably one of them. I don't deny it. And that's why I'm recommending his book. I think this guy's got something worth looking at. So take a look at it. It isn't going to cost you $30 for this book, I don't think. Now, I may be dead wrong here, but I don't think so. Now, he's got a $45 book, 700 pages, called The Secure Home. He has a second book here, How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home, for $25. So I'm going to guess that this book here is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $25-$30. Guess it. Worth every dime. Can't lose. I learned a tremendous amount about things that I'd never heard before. This guy Skousen knows a little bit about that one half of everything that there is to know in the world that I had never heard before. And I'll bet you that there's going to be some things in here that are a part of that one half of everything that there is to know in the world that you haven't heard either. And that's what makes it worth reading. And you'll pick up a little bit here and a little bit there to go with your superior knowledge. We'll concede that it's a given that you're smarter than I am, and you're smarter than Skousen, and you're smarter than both of us put together. But between Skousen and George Gordon, we do know just a little bit that you probably haven't heard yet that is worth this $25 or $30. Okay? And there's the story on strategic relocation for this session, which leads me to, I'm just about done for this hour. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.